Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents Understanding the Unique Needs of Single Ladies by Mrs. Angela Wall. Mrs. Wall teaches voice and piano lessons at West Coast Baptist College and also oversees the ladies' class at Lancaster Baptist Church. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Use me today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, on your outline, the first thing that we're going to talk about is single ladies need to know that God loves them. God loves them. And sometimes our feelings just tell us that nobody loves me. Have you heard that little phrase before? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Yes, I think I'll go eat worms. And, you know, sometimes we would probably never voice this, but sometimes we may think, well, God loves the whole world. He loves everybody in the world. We know the Bible says that God loves everyone in the world, but he loves everyone else. If he really loved me, I wouldn't feel so lonely. And sometimes single ladies have a very, very lonely feeling because they are alone most of the time. Are there any single ladies in here? Okay, several single ladies in here too. We wouldn't, again, voice that necessarily out loud, but maybe that thought comes to mind that nobody loves me, I guess I'll go eat worms. And, you know, that's a lie that's planted in our minds, a lie planted by the devil. And the truth is that God does love each and every one of us. And regardless of what we've done in the past and regardless of where we've come from, God loves every one of us. And we certainly don't deserve God's love, and we can never earn it, would be your fill in the blanks. We don't deserve God's love, and we could never earn it. John 3:16, let's quote that verse together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's an amazing love, that he would send his only Son to die in our place. And when we think of it, we should just be overwhelmed with God's love. And I'm so thankful for my salvation and that God would love us enough to send his only Son. It's a love we cannot even comprehend. He loves us that much. There's nothing I can do to make God love me any less. Boy, I'm thankful for that. He loves me no matter what. And there's nothing I can do that will make him love me any less. And you know, there's nothing I can do that will make God love me any more. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us more than we can ever imagine. I love the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 139, such a precious chapter. But verse 17 says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. And it goes on in verse 18 to say, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Have you ever picked up a scoop of sand when you're visiting the ocean or when you're by the ocean? Have you ever tried to count those grains of sand? It's impossible, isn't it? I've scooped it up before and thought about this verse. Oh, God thinks of us more than the number of the sand. His thoughts are so precious toward us. He loves us in such a way that we cannot even fathom. But that love for us, that he thinks of us that much, more in number than the sand. So God loves them. Single ladies must understand that, and all ladies must understand and remember that God loves us. And then number two is God is good. God is good. Can you hear me well enough? I know this is for recording purposes, but okay. God is good. Satan tempted Eve back in the Garden of Eden to rebel against God by causing her to doubt God's goodness. And you remember the verse in Genesis 3. He said, or the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, when Satan said that, Satan just planted that seed of doubt into Eve about God's goodness. He was implying, if God were good, if God was good, he wouldn't deny you of this tree. He wouldn't deny you of something that you really wanted if God was good. Satan was planting that seed of doubt into Eve's mind. And when we doubt God's goodness, we will reject his will, and we will make our own decisions about right and about wrong. Eve doubted God's goodness, and she sinned. When we doubt God's goodness, we will reject his will and make our own decisions about right and wrong. You know, when those trials come, and if you're not in the midst of a trial now, there's one around the bend, or you're just coming out of a trial, and everyone has a heartache and a burden that they carry. But when those trials come and the disappointments come and pain comes into our lives, Satan tempts us, like he did to Eve, to really wonder, is God good? The answer is, God is good. Don't doubt God's goodness towards us. Psalm 119 says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God is good and everything God does is good. God is good and everything God does is good. Then God is enough. God is enough. Single ladies need to know that God is enough. God's word is sufficient to deal with all of our problems. God's word is sufficient to deal with all of our problems. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Say that with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So God's word is sufficient for our problems. He will meet our needs. And letter B, God is all I need. God is all I need. We must stop looking at other things and at other people to fill the empty places in our hearts. And single ladies need to come to that realization that not to look to other people and thinking, oh, it would be so much better if I were married. Or, I need God, plus I need children. Or, I need God, plus I need a job that pays enough. You know, we attach things to what we, to God. And, or we might say, I need God, plus I need a house that has a microwave and a dishwasher. Or, I need God, plus I need a excellent running car, you know, that looks really good too. You know, we attach all these different things, but really, God is all I need. God is all I need. We don't need God plus close friends, or God plus even good health, but God is all I need. And if each one of us come to that realization that God's word and God in our hearts and in our lives is all that I need. There's a song that goes, Christ is all I need, Christ is all that I need. You want to sing it with me? Christ is all I need, Christ is all I need, all I need. And the next stanza is, he was crucified, for me he died. On Calvary, that is why I know he loves me so. He's all I need. That was beautiful. What a lovely choir. Very, very pretty. It's so true. Christ is all I need. And for us to help single ladies with that, that we are working with, we must come to that realization ourselves, that Christ must be first and foremost in our lives and in our relationship with him, and everything else will fall into place. God is enough. And then number four, God has a purpose for our problems. God has a purpose for our problems. Isn't that reassuring to know that everything that comes into our lives, he has a purpose and a plan for it? I love that even when we have a heartache or a health issue or whatever the problem is, it's a problem that he allowed into our lives. No matter how simple, no matter how huge that problem may be, it's one that was God-filtered and that he allowed into our lives, and he has a purpose for our problems. So letter A, God uses pressures and problems to shape and mold our lives to become more like Christ. He uses pressures and he uses problems to shape us to become more like him. And then God isn't detached from our problems. He knows our problems and he knows our needs. But sometimes we think we want God to fix our problems. We want God to just take care of everything. God, please do this, please do this, please do this, and fix our problems. But God says instead, I have a purpose for your problems. There's a reason why you're having that problem, and that is to change us and to mold us, to reveal his grace to us, to reveal his power to us, to help us to grow, to become more like him. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He's there in time of trouble. So he has a purpose for our problems. And then, number five, you can change the way you are. Boy, that's a good point for all of us. We can change the way that we are. We don't have to be stuck in a rut or stuck with, oh, I was just brought up this way, this is how I am, or I can't be organized because I've never been organized, or this is the weight I am, so I just have to stay at this weight, or, you know, on and on it goes, you know, that I'm one that just speaks my mind. I say whatever comes out. We can change the way we are. If we are Holy Spirit led and Holy Spirit filled, we can definitely change the things that come out of our mouth to be what God would have us to say, not just whatever comes to mind, first of all. So we can change the way we are, and single ladies must realize that. And Satan knows that if we believe we can't help the way we are, that we will never try to change. Satan realizes that. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We have a choice. We have a choice, and we are responsible for those choices that we make. And every choice that we make today is going to have consequences, isn't it? Every choice that is made. So make those right choices and choose to change. Choose to better ourselves in our service for the Lord. And that's why you're here today and why you're here this week, and you're wanting to better yourselves and you're wanting to learn new ideas and fresh things to do back at your home churches and learn and grow to know the Lord even more. So we can change the way we are. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And though it seems like that mountain is so high to climb and that, oh, there's no way I can change that. That's such a habit that I've had for many, many years. Or how in the world can I change this particular situation? We can change if we will trust Christ to help us to change, to be molded and to become more like him. And then number six, inner beauty is more important than physical beauty. That's a big one. The Bible doesn't condemn physical beauty, but it is wrong to take pride in God-given beauty and to give too much attention to physical beauty while we neglect the issues of the heart. Physical beauty doesn't last long, does it? The older I get, the more I realize, oh, wow, this physical body, it's just deteriorating, if I can even say the word. I'm starting to need, I've kind of not accepted the fact yet that I should be wearing glasses, I'm sure. I'm having to really focus here. And I probably need a large print Bible, you know, so it's not blurry anymore on the page. But, and then we notice those wrinkles start coming. And the gray hair and our bone density, it's, I guess we're shrinking, so I'm told. Yep, I think I shrunk an inch already, and I'm just in my 40s. But we are getting older, and that physical body is just deteriorating. We don't have the same physical stamina that we did when we were young. It's just a fact. As we get older, focus on what God says matters most. And that is that his spirit would cultivate in me a gracious spirit, a wise spirit, a kind and a loving heart. So cultivate those things. Now, that physical beauty, we don't want to just wake up in the morning and come as we are, right? When I looked in the mirror this morning, it was not a pretty sight. It would have scared everybody with the black, you know, all the makeup under my eyes and my hair all inside. And When we look in that mirror, we're supposed to change that appearance, and I'm sure that we're all glad that each one of us did so before we came today. But cultivate that inner beauty. Sometimes we spend so much time just with our outward appearance and trying to look good on the outside, that we don't take the time to spend time cultivating the inner beauty. And that beauty truly comes from within, doesn't it? From our heart. If we have a heart that desires to be kind and loving to others and respectful of others, and a heart that desires to please the Lord once again, that inner beauty will just come forth. Cultivate the inner beauty and the character that are pleasing to God and will last forever. And then, Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If we fear the Lord, we will be praised. Number 7, you cannot get away with sin. You cannot get away with sin. Another point that we as women need to understand and that we need to teach others, you cannot get away with sin. Sin is dangerous and sin is destructive, and we will reap what we sow. Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sin is very, very dangerous, and we will reap what we sow. Letter B, we must keep reminding ourselves that Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Sin will steal our joy. It will remove our confidence. If we are sinning and having a little hidden sin, it will come out eventually. What is in the heart will come out. And so teach that to the ladies around you and the ladies that you have the privilege to work with. Sin will bring guilt into our lives. And sin will definitely quench God's spirit. Sin breaks God's heart, our sin. And sin breaks the fellowship that we have with God as well. And so we cannot just get away with sin. Our sin is forgiven and forgotten. Praise the Lord for that. We don't have to remind God of our sin. It's washed away with the blood. But our sin will steal our joy, and it breaks our fellowship with the Lord. Number 8, God will forgive what we have done. Another point that ladies must understand and single ladies need to understand, that God will forgive what we have done. There's no sin that's too great that God won't forgive. And especially ladies that have gone through the trial of a divorce or a trial of something that they feel like they have done, that how can God forgive me? Maybe you have a lady that you work with that aborted a child, and they can't even imagine how God can forgive that sin. But no sin is too great that God can't forgive. Praise the Lord for that, that no sin is too great. Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He can forgive what we've done. And we must teach that to the ladies around us, that he will forgive our sin. Doesn't give us a license to go in sin, that he will forgive what we've done. And then number 9, we are responsible for our own actions and our own reactions. You know, we can't, we're certainly not responsible for what other people do and say, and we can't manage what other people say or do to us, but we can certainly control how we react and what our actions are in respect to how we are treated or what other people say or do to us. So we're responsible only for our own actions and our own reactions. You know, we're not even responsible for our husband's actions and reactions. And sometimes I felt like, you know, I needed to, we're the helpmeet. We're supposed to help our husband do this and that, and this isn't a session on our relationships with our husbands. But we're not responsible for what they do. We're their helpmeet, and we want to help encourage and be the wife that we should be to the man that God has placed in our lives. But we're not responsible for him. We're only responsible for us. We're responsible for our own actions and our own reactions. And then letter A, regardless of what or who influences our choices, we are still responsible for our actions and our reactions. Then don't blame shift. Do not blame shift. Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She's blame shifting. It was her choice and her decision to sin and to do wrong, but she was blame shifting. So just take responsibility for our actions and for our reactions. And then number 10, you do have time to do everything you're supposed to do. Whew, that's a good statement, isn't it? You do have time to do everything that you are supposed to do. Now, that doesn't mean you have time to do everything that everybody else thinks you're supposed to do or everything that necessarily that you're asked to do, but you do have time to do everything that you are supposed to do. Letter A. Frustration comes when we attempt to take on responsibilities that are not in God's plan. We must prioritize and make sure that we keep those priorities right and straight. And all of us being involved in Christian service, we can get so busy, and you want to serve, and you want to keep doing, and you want to do for others, but we must keep our priorities right and make sure that the things that we are doing are in God's plan for us. All I have to do is to work, is the work that God assigns for me to do. That's all I have to do, is whatever God allows me to do and puts in my path to do. A false balance, the Bible says in Proverbs, is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And we could do a whole different session on balance even and talking about how to properly balance our lives and those priorities. But we can do everything that we're supposed to do. Determine God's priorities for each season of your life. And with the Holy Spirit's guidance, set out to fulfill those priorities. Determine what God's priorities are for your life. And, you know, I've been thinking so much lately about, and I mentioned it in a previous session, but the story of Mary and Martha and how that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and Martha was cumbered about serving and Jesus was there to visit. And if Jesus were coming to visit, wouldn't you get everything in order and be busy serving and doing? And I can relate to both of those women because I love to do things and I love to be busy and serving. But I'd love to sit at Jesus' feet too. And when Martha was so busy, Jesus said she was cumbered about and she was overwhelmed. And she came in to Jesus and said, shouldn't Martha be helping me? Why isn't Martha helping me? And she thought that probably Jesus would stick up for her and say, yeah, Martha, go. Or, yeah, Mary, go help. Go help her. Or let's all go help her. You know, that's what we as women would have liked to have heard maybe, huh? But Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the good part. And Mary was the one sitting at his feet, spending time worshiping Jesus. And sometimes we get so busy doing and doing for others that we don't choose the good part. We neglect the good part that's sitting at his feet and worshiping him and spending time in those personal devotions and spending time at his feet. I have enjoyed so much this summer. We didn't have a backyard for a while. We had a backyard, but it was desert. And so we just recently put some trees that are, you know, this big around in our backyard and some flowers. I've enjoyed doing that and have a little patio cover now. And I love sitting out there in the morning for my devotions now. I would never go out there before. It was desert heat and hot and just ugly. But now it's so enjoyable. And so I've been having my morning devotions outside. And don't you love how God shows you in little ways how much he loves you and in big ways too? But I've been seeing hummingbirds coming around. I hadn't seen a hummingbird in years. And here there's this little hummingbird that lives in my backyard now. And just things like that that God will show us and just remind us of his love through nature and through the love of other people in so many different ways. But don't neglect that good part that Jesus said that we should choose. Even though we're busy doing other things, don't neglect that precious time with him and that good part. Psalm 119 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So make sure we prioritize and do make the time for the things that God wants us to do. And with our whole heart, seek the Lord. Put him first in every put him first in our lives in every area. The number 11, we must have consistent time in God's word and in prayer. Satan knows that if we neglect time in God's word, we will become vulnerable to deception in every area of our lives. And Satan knows that if he's going to get at us and at our families, at our children, at our relationships that we have with other church ladies, and in whatever area, he knows that if we neglect time in his word, that he can, we will become very, very vulnerable in those areas. Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." When we don't take time with God, we're really saying, "I can handle this day on my own. I don't need you, Lord, to help me through this day. I can do my work. I can handle my home. I can keep my home. I can handle all my relationships and my responsibilities. I can deal with every circumstance that comes into my life without you." That's what we're saying when we neglect that time with him. And you know, that's pride. And the Bible says pride cometh before the fall. And God resisteth the proud, the Bible says. And so if we go through our day without spending time with him, be prepared for God to resist us and to resist our efforts, because he said he resisteth the proud. We are prideful when we don't take time with him and on our knees begging for his help and his guidance throughout our day. And then letter B, making time with God must be a decision. Schedule those precious moments with him. Make time with him. We must schedule those precious times with him. And you all know that. We've been told that for so long, and we've been reminded of it over and over. But let's all ask ourselves the question, is our walk with the Lord what it should be and what it could be? And all of us should be on that growing journey, that we're getting to know the Lord even more, and that we're spending precious moments with him and studying and meditating on his word, hiding his word in our hearts. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then number 12, it's not about me, it's all about him. And we must put Christ first. Another point that single ladies will help them if they come to that realization, it's not all about me, it's all about him. Put Christ first. God's eternal purpose is far more important than the things that consume our thinking. We get so overwhelmed with little petty things, but his eternal purpose is far more important than anything else that consumes our thinking. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God's eternal purpose, the most important thing. Accept then, letter B, accept whatever comes into our lives as part of God's sovereign will and his purpose. Accept whatever comes into our lives as part of God's sovereign will and his purpose. Aren't you thankful that everything is God-filtered, and that everything that comes into our lives, whether it's a health problem, or a relationship problem with an extended family member or within your immediate family, or a huge trial or the loss of a loved one, whatever comes into our lives, that God has planned that and there's a purpose for it. From those big, big things to the simplest things as having a flat tire, or you know, running out of gas, or a car accident, or whatever comes into our days, that God planned it, and that was his will for that day. And accept whatever comes into our lives as part of God's plan. Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Even our dear Lord Jesus, when he was in the garden praying, the Garden of Gethsemane, before his crucifixion, he knew that he was going to die for our sins. And he prayed, and he knew that it was time to be praying. The disciples were sleeping, but Jesus was praying through the night. And he said, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus wanted his Father's will in his life, and we must accept whatever comes into our own lives as part of God's sovereign will and his plan. When we're working with ladies and dealing with different people, there's a phrase that they won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's so true. Just to love the people around you and to lend a listening ear. That's what I find to be one of the best things with the ladies that I have the privilege to spend time with, is just to listen and to listen to their problems and their burdens. And once in a while, I'll say a few little words here and there. But really, they just want me to listen. They want to know that someone cares for them and that someone loves them and wants to take time with them and share God's word with them. So give of your time to all those around us. And what a privilege it is to work with people, isn't it? We're laying up treasure in heaven when we get to invest in other people's lives and when we get to be an encouragement to others. And what a true privilege that is, to spend time with others and pour ourselves into them. And it truly is a privilege. And I'm so thankful that you've been here today. And let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you once again for your love for us. And Lord, truly for the privilege that it is to spend time in your presence. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us. And I pray that you would help us as Christian women to spread some of that love and that joy, to tell others about you that don't know of your saving grace. And then those that we have the privilege to minister to in our churches, that your love would just radiate from our lives, and that we would be concerned for others, and that we would desire to be a help. And I pray that some of these points, Lord, would be a help for these dear ladies as they take them home with them. And thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.